Our scripture lesson this week comes from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. It'll be verses 1 through 30, actually. But we're going to do it a little different this week. Seeing that this is Veterans Day, considering I'm a veteran myself, and I'm honored by all those who did choose to serve. And we all knew there was a risk, and we all volunteered, most all of us who have served and have been veterans in our country. And we all got real familiar with the term hurry up and wait. I'm certain Aubrey can attest to this. It doesn't matter what branch you're in. There, at some point, it's like, you got to hurry up, get there, Lennon, we got to wait. Kind of heard the same thing going on this week during Elections Day. We got to get in, hurry up, get all them votes in there, and then we just sit around and wait. And we wait, and we wait some more. So what I thought it was pretty appropriate to talk about the ten virgins. The parable of the ten virgins, which is in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. So if you want to open your Bibles, you can follow along. Usually it's on page 1540 in your pew Bibles. And Matthew records this parable that Jesus told. He said, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like the ten virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. Well, at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Well, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Well, later, others came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Well, this parable of the ten virgins is probably one of the most disliked of all the Bibles, because it speaks in really stern words to those who are not ready for the moment of truth. And it really leaves us uncomfortable in knowing what being ready really means or what it might entail. So I thought it was important that we actually read the next parable, which is the parable of the talents. So in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting at verse 14, we'll read 14 through 30. So then again, Jesus is speaking to them. He says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off and he dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, and he settled accounts with him. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. Well, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, but I will But I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Well, the man with two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. Well, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I'm not sown and gathered where I've not scattered seeds. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come and to share and just to read your word. We do ask you to bless us this morning. Help us in our understanding of your parables so that we might have the right mindset. In all things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first thought about this, and I thought about hurry up and wait, and every time I got that picture in my mind, I think Bonnie. When our kids were growing up, what a time it was to get them onto a school bus in the morning. Of course, if you know where we live kind of out on a dirt road, so you kind of had to watch for the bus, and you definitely didn't want the kids to miss it. So I think of how many times I'd get up in the morning, I'd have the day off or something, and the kids had to go to school, I'd hear, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, wait, you wait right there, and you watch for that bus. Every morning. And I'm certain it went on even when I wasn't there. And inevitably, one of our children, he'd have everything ready, and he'd run out the door, and he'd get right to the bus, the bus door would be open, he'd ready to take that first step, and he'd turn around and run right back to the house because he forgot something. I'm not going to name that child right now. He'd no sooner get in the house, and his mother would confront him. He said, I told you to hurry up. What did you forget? And I thought, when I thought about this hurry up and wait business, I thought, what did Bonnie really mean by this? Hurry. It was to be prepared. Make sure you got everything in order. And then wait really means to watch. So when I thought about the 10 virgins in a parable, I thought, we really, in order for us to understand it, we had to ask them the same questions. We had to know who Jesus was speaking to and what the questions he was really answering here. So if you look at chapter, if you move back a couple of chapters, go back to chapter 23, this is where Jesus really starts this whole conversation. And who's he speaking to? When I go back there, I look at it in verse 1 and 2. Says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, if you got one of them red letter Bibles, it's all red letters after that, pretty much, all the way through chapter 25. But said, Jesus said to the crowds, so he's speaking to the crowds, and he said, and to his disciples, and the teachers of the law, and the Pharisees, who sit in Moses' seat. So he's got quite a crowd there he's talking to. But if we go to chapter 24,
It tells us when Jesus left the temple, he was walking away with his disciples, came up to him and called his attention to the buildings around. In verse 2 it says, "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one here will be left upon another. Everyone will be thrown down." And he says, "And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of your age?" So like my wife, when she was telling our kids to be prepared and to watch for the bus, Jesus was telling his disciples, you better be prepared and watch for the end of the age. And he gives them some more reasons. He says, because for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, I'm the Messiah, he says, and will deceive many. But you will hear of wars and rumors of war. But see to it that you do not alarm. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginnings of birth pains. More thought about that and how appropriate it was this week that we celebrated Veterans Day this week. It was Election Day. And you can't help but turn on the news and hear rumors. Especially in our country, we think some people, depending on your viewpoint, thought the world was coming to an end. Our country's going to come to an end. But it's not. It may be a birth pain. So if we look at where Jesus finishes his parables, in parable and the sheep and the goats, in verse 31 through 34, Jesus tells me, he says, "So when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as he separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" But then he gives a warning down to verse 41. He says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal life, prepare for the devil and his angels.'" So you think about this. So in the first parable we read, in the parable of the 10 virgins, so we got 10 bridesmaids waiting for the groom to come. They're waiting for the banquet to start. And of course, there's a snag in the plan. How many have ever been to a wedding that there was kind of a snag in the plan? I've ever been to a wedding that was here that there was a snag in the plan. There's always some kind of happenings we're waiting, whether it's for the bride or the groom or for the right people to show up. And back in Jesus' day, they had the same problems, but they had financial problems to deal with too, because there was always a monetary agreement between the parents, because usually the bride and the bridegroom already had a financial arrangement between the families. They really didn't have a whole lot of choice here. So there was always last-minute snags, a snafu, you might say. And I thought about that. It was one of the great plans, you know. But when we think about this, despite all that careful planning, all 10 bridesmaids were a pair of. There was 5 who were prepared, and there was 5 who weren't quite prepared. They were kind of left roaming around in the dark, The more I thought about there, I'm thinking about how many times have you come and sat in a pew in a church, heard the word? You know that you need to come to Christ and ask for forgiveness. And you never do. And you turn around and you walked out the door. What would happen if the end had come tomorrow? Would you be running around? You could see God coming in all his glory. You'd be running around saying, where did I miss it? Where is the rest of my oil? My light isn't lit anymore. You'd be caught sleeping at your desk, kind of at work. I know I got caught sleeping on a creeper a couple of times when I was a mechanic for way too many years. And I got thinking about this. You'd be caught sleeping. How many times have you been caught sleeping in a pew? I used to get ribbed about that a lot because I always had an excuse. It was like, okay, I'm just trying to keep my focus in the right place. But I got looking at it on the website, and I looked up the 10 best excuses to give if you're caught falling asleep at your desk. Here's what theirs were. They said, when they got woke up, he said, they told me at the blood bank this might happen. Or this is just a 15-minute power nap. I used that one myself before. Or, whew, guess I left the top off the light out. You probably just got here in time. Or, I wasn't sleeping, I was meditating on a mission. Or, I've heard my brother say this, I was testing my keyboard for drool resistance. Or I was doing a highly specific yoga exercise to relieve work-related stress. Or darn you, why did you interrupt me? I almost figured out the solution to our biggest problems. Or the coffee machine was broken, or someone put decaf in the coffee machine. But my all-time favorite was somebody wake you up from sleeping. Like, in his name, amen. But we think about that, and we don't want to be the one caught sleeping. We don't want to be the one who's going to miss the bus. If you're the kids, you were posted to watch. Or we don't want to be left behind in a war zone. As we served in our military, do we now? So the more I thought about this, what are we supposed to be doing while we wait? In the parable of the bridesmaids waited so long that they were falling asleep, but when it came, someone woke them and they were ready. So how are we going to be ready? That's why we had to read the parable of the talents. So you think about this, the 10 talents, the first 5 and 2, they both took their money immediately when they got it, and they put it to work. And they doubled their money. But there's this one fella, he gets him one talent, and what's he do? He goes and he buries it. So when Jesus comes back and he requires them all, and he says, well done, good and faithful servants, to the one with 5 talents and the one with 2 talents. He gets to this one guy, and he says, so what have you done? He says, and he brings his money to him. He says, here. And Jesus scolds him for it. I'm certain this guy's thinking, what's the big deal? You gave me this money, and here it is in return. He didn't lose anything down, did he? But I got thinking about this, and I got thinking about what it was like in Jesus' day. And I got thinking about the worth of a talent. And we think about talents today. We think about the talents we're given, like our special music family shared with us this morning, Frank and your girls. We do appreciate it. But we think about the talents we're given, whether it's monetary or it's physical or spiritual. Anything that God has given to us that is really our ability is a gift from him. You have to think about how valuable they are. That was the point of Jesus' parable of the talents. He says, so when I think about this, so a talent was a huge sum of money, actually. It was about 6,000 denarii, or 20 years' worth of wages. I mean, you think about that. So if the median income today is around, I don't know, what is it, $40,000 a year? So one talent would be worth about $813,000, just one. So each of them would receive $750,000 just for each talent. So one guy, he got $1.6 million. The guy with five talents, he probably got $4 million. We're not talking about a paltry sum of money here. And who's going to give this kind of money away unless you really have some trust with them? So I thought about the scenario. So it's okay. So this one guy he's really disgusted with, he gave him $750,000. He comes back and he gets his money back. But he's really upset with him. And is he upset with him because he didn't invest it? Or is he upset with him because he didn't register with it at the bank? You know, God gives us our talents and he's not afraid, and he doesn't really care if we don't use it and you make a fool of ourselves. I've done that many times, probably right from here. But he requires us to use them. This guy who buried his talent, think about what he did. He took the talent that Jesus gave him, he trusted him with $750,000, and he goes and he buries it in the ground. Why is he burying it in the ground? Well, because if he took it to the bank, he'd have to register it, and he'd have to register it in his master's name. And if he did that, so if the master didn't come back, well, he had no claim on the money. It'd have to go to the heirs. Or if he buries it in the ground, there's no register of it. This way, the heirs don't know it's there. And he don't have to give it back if something happens to the master. Isn't that kind of how we look at the talents that God has given to us? I got thinking about, the more I thought about it, I thought about that verse in Matthew, in chapter 16, verse 25 says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. When I thought about that, I got thinking, all right, so if we want to be like those who had the talents, the five talents and the two talents, and we want to be revered by God when we get to heaven, we want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, and we don't want to be the one burying it, what do we got to do? Well, the first thing we have to do, according to Matthew 16:25, is we got to lose it. If we want to gain, we got to lose it first. And I got thinking on this Veterans Day, I got thinking about, how do we do that? And I got thinking about when I went in the military. When I first signed up for boot camp, they decided to send me to San Diego, California for boot camp. Okay, let's do it. Long way from Montrose, Pennsylvania. I arrive at San Diego Airport. People start yelling at me. They tell me to get on this bus and keep your mouth shut. It's dark out when we got there and we drive into this area. We no sooner get on the base, I remember getting out of the bus and everybody getting lined up. And this little short guy comes out in the uniform. And he's walking up and down, up and down, up and down. Pretty soon he yells attention and everybody we haven't learned how to really stand at attention, but everybody's kind of paying attention. And he yells even louder. And then I'll never forget his first instructions to us, just to let us know who we were. He looked at it and said, all of you are, excuse my language, whale shit. And I'm thinking, whale shit? What is whale shit? And he says, and I'm going to tell you what whale shit is. Whale shit is at the bottom of the ocean. You don't get any lower than that. You belong to me. And from that point on, everything we learned had to be of a naval mindset. Everything that we received came from them. You see, in order for us to be usable, use the talents that we were going to be given, we had to be prepared. But we had to give up everything else we ever knew, because they taught us a new language. They taught us how to dress. I think they taught us how to eat. They taught us how to do everything. They didn't leave anything per chance. God does the same thing with us. When we come to Christ, when we ask for forgiveness, when we become Christians, God does exactly the same thing for us. We start at the very first step. We are, excuse my language, at the bottom of the ocean in the learning process. And God teaches us what we need to do, how we are to prepare, how we can multiply what he has given to us. And once we have it, we're told to hurry up and wait. Just like they did in the service, just like Bonnie used to do to the kids. Be prepared and watch, is what he was saying. The second part of the 1625, we have to use it. Think about this. We have to lose everything to gain it, and once we gain it, we have to use it or we're going to lose it. Figure every talent we have, whether it's a musical ability or if it's just ability to lend your hand to your neighbor. Every time you use that, you gain. Every time you help your neighbor, don't we gain friendship? Don't we gain love? Every time we show love to one another, don't we have that same kindness reciprocated to us? Don't we win? That's how we prepare. So my message this week, pretty simple. When you walk out of here, I want you to think about this. I want you to hurry up and wait. Be prepared and watch for his return. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to once again to share your word, just to be with us. As you have promised, where two or more are gathered together, there you would be with us also. Father, guide us this morning. Be with us in all we do, for we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.